The theme for today's talk is called Embodiment, the Body of Practice. We spend our lives in these bodies, in this extraordinary vessel, with six sense doors, looking out into the world of light and dark through these grey-green portals. We hear the cacophony of sounds through these elongated lobes, and our feelings offer the world some texture and depth to our inner lives. Our senses bring us into relationship with the world of form, sound, texture, and colour. Our bodies bring us various pleasures and delights, the invigorating feeling of being fit, satisfaction of a good meal, delicious moments of touch and connection and love. And there is a range of beautiful feelings associated with the body. But equally, there are difficult and hard truths of bodily life, its decay, its excrements, pain and tension, and unpleasant feelings, and it aches as we get older, the longer we sit on this cushion. And while our experiences of life is mediated through the body, yet we are not ultimately defined by the body. However, if we wish to realize enlightenment, we are not going to realize it anywhere else other than right here in this very body and mind. There was a tendency in spiritual traditions to denounce the body, split from the body, to treat it as inferior. Spiritual traditions historically have spoken about transcending the mundane and the flesh. And one of the aspects I love about Zen practice that I enjoy is that enlightenment is an embodied, awakened experience. Wisdom is not some disconnected, transcendental state of mind out there, somewhere up there, but wisdom is truly grounded in this body, heart, and mind, right here and now. We are not talking about an out-of-body experience, but an in-body experience. So you have to be in your body to be awake. Mindfully walking, eating, working, cleaning, cooking, chanting, bowing is the very ground of awakening. All these simple actions right here. This does not mean that the body is the ultimate truth, however. We are not idolizing it, glorifying it, romanticizing it. It is clear from Dharma teachings that over-attachment and clinging to our body being a certain way will inevitably cause suffering. After all, it's so obvious that we droop, become grayer, more wrinkled and weathered despite our arduous attempts to prevent the inevitable parchment of old age. The essential nature, our vast, empty, pure nature, the truth of who we are, is not something apart from this embodied moment. When we breathe, sweat, cry, bleed, and feel hungry, tired or peaceful or lonely, it is the juncture of the unique, specific flavor of the moment that intersects with the great matter of no flavor, no name, no colour, no form, our universal great nature. And it's this intersection that is so wonderful and exquisite. Yeah. How could it be otherwise? So spiritual practice is about cultivating a wise and compassionate relationship to the body. So it's important to investigate what is your relationship to your body. Too often we use our body but don't inhabit it fully. Some people tend to live a short distance from their body or live in their heads. Have no head, but that's another thing again. And relate to the rest of their body as an object or a hunk of flesh that they can direct around as they will. They override its needs by soldering on or driving it and pushing it past its tiredness barometer, ignoring it, rejecting it, or disliking it, its form. Or on the other hand, some people give in to the body's every whim. Either way, you're enslaved by the body. Some people treat every aspect of the body, all the surfaces of the body, as a personal development improvement project, and are never satisfied with their bodily shape, colour, appearance, size. And there's a whole multi-billion dollar industries aimed at the improving the cosmetic appearance of the body. So we come all this way, sit with earnestness, to practice, to be here and now. So why is it so difficult? On the first 2 days of a retreat, we begin to notice how distracted, how we're disconnected from life, from ourselves, often lost in fantasy, trance, caught up in projections, consumed by the stories of our own creation that we weave from a body of experience. And it's difficult to be here now in this simple yet profound practice, because it's not all sweet, a sweet rose garden, simply being and inhabiting the body in this moment. We have to sometimes encounter painful memories, difficult ailments, physical pain, fumbling and failings, and we have to face the messiness and ordinariness of being human. A contemporary philosopher, Merleau-Ponty, said, "The lived body is always responding. The lived body is always responding." It's alive, yeah, when we're really inhabiting the body. Merleau-Ponty asks us to explore our relationality through the senses, the felt sense of the body in situation. And when we mindfully attend, we become the flesh of the world. Isn't that a beautiful metaphor? Expands this sense of kind of, we think of just our own personal little flesh, but become the flesh of the world. Yeah. One of the most celebrated clear practical Dharma discourses ever given by the Buddha is the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the Satipatthana Sutta. And the first foundation of mindfulness covers contemplation of the body and includes the four traditional postures: to be mindful in sitting, standing, walking, and lying down. Mindfulness of the body includes breath and all movement. It includes mindfulness of sensations as well, and being in contact and mindful of the five elements of earth, water, fire, and air, the composites that make up this bodily life. And these foundational practices are taught for the first 3 days of a traditional 7-day insight retreat. And it's our first primary practice here in the Zen retreat. When I was meditating on the breath on a recent occasion, mindfulness of breathing, I was contemplating the breath and feeling the breath and just sensing into it. The breath I breathe as I was doing this. Do I breathe, or does the world breathe me? Yeah. Do I breathe, or does the world breathe each and every one of us? Yeah. I remember a story of a sincere practitioner who went in search of the highest teachings, the most profound highest teachings. And he searched far and wide and heard about this wonderful High Lama who lived in the Himalayas. And so when he was in Dalhousie, in Dharamsala, he asked about who to receive the highest teachings from. And so the various lamas that there said, "Oh, well, there's this wonderful lama high up in the Himalayas in a cave, and you have to trek up through the forests to find him. And why don't you go and ask him?" What are the highest teachings, most profound teachings? So this man did decide to do that, and he took offerings, and he trekked up and eventually found this lama in this cave and went up and made prostrations and offerings and asked for the highest teachings. And the lama simply said, "It breathes itself." And that was the end of the discourse. It breathes itself. So profound, so simple, so exquisite. Everything. The breath breathes itself. That which is inside the breath breathes itself. And what is it that breathes itself? It breathes itself. The Buddha emphasized contemplation of the body in the body. In the Satipatthana Sutta, he is very specific with his language. He says, contemplate the feelings in the feelings, the mind in the mind, the body in the body. And so what did he mean by contemplating the body in the body? It's not some abstract kind of notion of breath or body or some medical map or some imagination about our body, but actually inviting us to inhabit our body in the direct experience of sensations, this bodily life. And why is it that the Buddha gave such emphasis to this contemplation of the breath and the body, mindfulness of breathing, and first foundation? It's because for most of us, we have a high degree of attachment and clinging and identification with this body as I, me, my. And long as we're clinging to this body as self, then we don't know the great way, the great freedom. One way to cultivate a balance between the attraction to the beautiful aspects of the body and the aversion to the unpleasant aspects of the body is to meditate on the elements of the body. This is also a foundational practice that's given to many of the monks and nuns. And those elements, the earth, water, fire, and air. Earth is the heaviness experienced as hardness and heaviness, such as our bones. The air is revealed as movement, the inhalation and exhalation. The fire is heat and cold, temperature. The water is cohesion, the life force of the blood and fluids. So contemplation of the elements enhances a sense of interconnectedness with the life force all around us, as one indivisible whole. And nature is made up of these elements, manifesting them, those five elements all the time. We're getting quite an intense sort of dose of that right now. Water element, cold element. Another beautiful contemplation that is in the Satipatthana Sutta. Satipatthana Sutta is a very wonderful a broad discourse, and it has a number of practices in there which we actually don't take up so fully in our lay tradition. But one of the contemplations in the Satipatthana Sutta is also to contemplate one's skeleton, one's bones. And I had a couple of experiences of this just recently when I was teaching the Buddhism and Psychotherapy course in Sydney, 2-year graduate, postgraduate diploma course, and in module 6, where Venerable Sujato, who's the abbot of Santi Forest Monastery just south of Sydney, managed to get hold of a skeleton from the health science faculty at the university. So we borrowed this wonderful skeleton that we could have for the weekend. It was on loan. And so respectfully and beautifully, Venerable Sujato we opened up the box and handled the bones, and every little small group was given some bones from the skeleton. And it was just an extraordinary contemplation to silently, in a small circle, pick up a wonderful bleached bone, and then sort of figure out, well, what part of the body might that be? And it really brought it home in terms of the sort of this contemplation of the bones is really coming back to the bones of the body, and made me really appreciate the precious sacred, these precious sacred bones. So it's such a kind of rare experience in a way that we get to hold and touch and see and feel a skeleton. And the contemplation that the Buddha spoke about when he advised the monks to go to the cremation, the cemetery grounds, and to contemplate death and contemplate the bones. And he said to contemplate this statement, I am like this too. This will happen to me. Yeah? As we pick up the bones, I am like this too. This will happen to me. So there are many opportunities to be mindful of our body. Even in the simple relationship to food we consume. We go shopping, choose various items, carry it home, place it in the refrigerator, unpack it, clean it, chop it, prepare it, cook it, place it in trays, serve it, share it, taste it, swallow it, chew it, clean it up, put it away, back in the refrigerator, forget about it, and then we repeat all of those actions all over again. Yeah. Sometimes 3 times a day. Yeah. And so there's a very important practice here. These actions are repeated just to simply sustain the health of our body and to notice the whole process of eating mindfully. With each mouthful, not to space out and go wandering off and dreaming while you're having this delicious food. But even the practice of Orioki, as we have our bowl sets, the practice or the spirit of Orioki is the practice of what is enough. It actually translates as Orioki means just enough. So what is just enough sustenance for our body? A whole relationship, mind-body relationship here that needs to be put under the light of attention. To be attuned and fully present in our bodies can turn the simple activities of our lives into sacred mindful practice. The pursuit of pleasure and the suppression of pain can be transformed through the consciousness that is open, receptive, and expansive. We focus so much on the enlightened mind, but what is the enlightened body? What does that look like? When embodiment and enlightenment come together, it's known as the Trikaya in Buddhism. Kaya, word kaya, means body. And the Mahayana doctrine of the three bodies of the Buddha are three aspects of the enlightened mind that we need to wake up to. They're three aspects or three gates of wisdom, of embodiment. And even the word that I mentioned last night, seshin, is to touch the heart mind. So that is the first step, is getting a glimpse, getting an insight into our true nature. To convey the heart-mind is the second step of maturity in Zen practice, which is learning to express this heart, this wisdom of compassion and insight. To embody the heart-mind is the third step. And the embodiment goes on and on. Not only is it the first step in our practice, in the first foundation of mindfulness, but embodiment is to bring home this wisdom and compassion, right through every cell of our body, every moment that we walk through life. So embodiment, this deep sense of embodying the way, goes on and on. And so the three bodies of the Buddha, these are the three dimensions of aspects that we need to wake up to. The first one is the Nimanakaya, which is the transformation body, the unique form each thing takes. It is what makes the difference between gum trees and the pine trees or conifers. Nāmanikāya is the great body of transformation, change and diversity with its endless manifestations. So exploring one's own unique physical body, being intimate with the particularity that opens out to an intimacy with the world of form. Each thing has, and each one of us is completely and utterly unique. This is Nāmanikāya. In other words, no one has your fingerprint. No one in the universe has your fingerprint, and no one ever, ever will. It is completely unique, like every single snowflake, like every single blade of grass is different. It is unrepeatable. You, in this moment, are unrepeatable. And this is the Nāmanikāya, seeing deeply into that. The second body of the Buddha is called Sambhogakāya. This is the bliss body, or the experiencing the joys and fruits of liberation. It is the great nature body. We are part of the body of the earth. The mountains, rivers are inside us, in the body of interbeing, of interdependence, where each thing contains all other things. We start to realize that we look inside and we open this heart and mind and we see the trees and the forest and the rivers and the mountains and the frogs and the stars and the stones. This sense of interbeing is a great body of nature. The wilderness, freeing the wilderness inside of us. The wisdom of our great body is articulated and celebrated by Zen Master Dogen Zenji. And he said, the entire earth is the true human body. Is our actual body, is the gate of liberation. The affective, sensual, and poetic imagery of Rainer Maria Rilke, one of the great German literary figures, poets, celebrates our interconnection in this way, in this beautiful poem. Ah, not to be cut off, not through the slightest partition shut out from the law of the stars. The inner, what is it? If not intensified sky, hurled through with birds and deep with the winds of homecoming. So we need to see and experience our great body of mountains and rivers, stars and frogs. We are vast and we contain multitudes, as Walt Whitman said. And the third body of the Buddha is the Dharmakaya. This is the pure and clear Dharma body of suchness, the penetrating clarity of our unborn nature. The body of emptiness offers us a buoyant raft to cross the turbulent emotional waters so we don't sink and drown in the suffering by clinging to form and name. The absolute reality of emptiness liberates us from all our known views, stories of who we think we are. It plunges us into the vast, limitless, timeless, pure and complete freedom of who we really are, our empty nature. And if we stay very still and quiet with a fine degree of awareness, we can actually experience the body as permeable, borderless, the edges dissolving into the everything that includes no body, no form, just the vast spaciousness of who we are. So to truly embody the heart-mind is to embody all these three aspects, the Nāmanikāya, the physical body, being intimate with oneself as bones, substance, matter, flesh and blood, Sambhogakāya, the great nature body, the world of interconnected oneness, the body of stars and all beings that sit right here on our lap, and the Dharmakaya, the empty body, the intimate being intimate with our own Buddha nature. All three are held in the great shining body of the world, and all three are held in this simple, ordinary, humble body sitting right here now. Hakuin Zenji said, this very place is the lotus land, this very body, the Buddha. So I wrote a poem for celebrating the body. This poem, most of it was written while I was doing Hakomi training, and I wrote it for one of my trainers called Maya, who is a wonderful trainer from the States, who was doing a lot of body work with us at the time. So this poem's called Listen to the Body, and it encapsulates the three different dimensions of body: Nimanakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Dhammakaya. Listen to your body. Notice what emerges when you try to slide into a delicious sensation and meet in a dark corner a surprising voice of resistance, and taste the old, stale, musty house on your tongue, and unearth the landscapes in your shoulders that try to hold up the world, and the longing in your hands that reaches out for the missing connection. You sink into your belly and it remembers something so old, so young, it cannot find words yet. It simply moves ever so slowly up the spine through forgotten pathways, connecting and welcoming all the various parts of this wild, beautiful, intricate sanctuary. Your body is an old treasure map that reveals itself to you if you are willing to listen. It guides you back to your true home. Listening to my body, I discover there are different wells inside me. Wells of love and fear, pain, hope, joy and sorrow. Some fill easily after a good rain. Some never fill completely. But there is also a bottomless well inside the heart. And this well is as wide as heaven and earth. And all the myriad creatures find refuge there. This well is the well of inexhaustible abundance that flows freely. It quenches the thirst and brings joy to the heart. Listen to your great body, for you are existence's skirt, whose folds and curves contain mountains, rivers, and soft rain. Your every sigh and breath falls against the cheek of the beloved's infinite body. In the heart of the shining body of the world is a mystery. It has no shape or name. It has no beginning and no end. It is vast like outer space, yet pregnant with all that is. Awakening to this embodied mystery frees the soul and brings peace to the heart and mind. So please invite you to contemplate the body in the body. Inhabit your breath. Let it breathe itself. Contemplate the bones of your zazen and wake up to your great infinite body.